Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. Well, our dear sister is in studio, and we're just about ready to go along with the program. But before we do, let me just make a few quick announcements. Number one is that yesterday Sister Marie was in studio, and we had a great time doing this show, this series that she's been working on social justice. What a series it is. It's just wonderful. And, I was sharing with Sister Marie yesterday on the broadcast that the guys that she is presenting their audio in this series on social justice, you can just hear their passion. They're very passionate, the subject. I like to hear passionate people. Passionate people are the kinds of people, and I was listening to them, and they were saying, I listened to 6 hours of audio in preparation. I like to hear that. I like to hear that the host, that the people who are doing a show has spent hours and hours and hours in preparation for a two-hour show. That's passion. That's passion. So, Sister Marie's series on social justice, it's a must-listen-to series. Great presenters The guys who do the breakdown of social justice, just great, just great. It's a series, and they're all there. All of the shows are archived. Take advantage of it because social justice, the social justice gospel, quote unquote, is coming to a church near you. It's coming to a church if it has or if it hasn't already been there. So check out the series. Also, if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. You know, it's been a while. It's been a while that I have not. The last prayer request I received was from Sister Jennifer asking us to pray for her because she was going to have knee surgery. That was the last, and I'm saying, are all of my brothers and sisters doing all right that no one is sending in prayer requests? It's been a while. It's like the prayer request well has completely dried up. So send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. All righty. Before I bring on Sister AJ, I just got one more thing to say, and the one thing I have to say is to don't forget the Bible Institute. We have a school that's for you. It's tuition-free, registration-free, textbook free, by textbook fee-free. We don't have textbooks in the class. We're not trying to sell you a textbook. It's not part of the course. But we're learning about some of the things that crazy, asinine preachers say over the pulpit. That's where we currently are today, looking at the stupidest things that people are saying from the pulpit, stupid preachers, donkey preachers, hee-hawing preachers, brain preachers, which absolutely make no biblical sense. But if you went to YouTube, you'll see that there are, I kid you not, there are a plethora of preachers all copying each other, all saying the same thing like, Satan, we bind you. We bind this spirit and we bind that spirit. Or one that was made very famous by Dr. Cindy Trim, I decree and declare, okay? So tomorrow, Thursday, the school will be back in session. I'll be delivering a two-hour lecture, and the text we're going to be looking at is a text coming out of the book of Job. Cindy Trim loves the book of Job, and tomorrow we're going to be dealing with the asinine teaching of you and I having the ability to command our mornings. I've never heard of anything so stupid. But Cindy Trim found a Bible verse, an obscure Bible verse, and she has mangled it. She has manipulated the text, and now she's teaching. In fact, there are several books. She put out several books. I don't know if it's the same book with three different book covers, but she has several books on how to teach you to command your morning. I would love to command my morning. I would love to say, listen, today I want my four teenagers to be on their best behavior. That would be the first thing on top of my list. Can my four teenagers not give me any lip, not give me any bad talk, just obey their mommy and their daddy, and whatever we tell them to do, they would just do it? That would be the first thing. The second thing would be is I command this morning that my wife's list of things for me to do would magically disappear. That would be the second thing I would do if I was commanding my morning. It doesn't work, folks. It does not work. I can tell you that right now. I can tell you that right now. So, my brothers and sisters, there's a Bible school for you. It's easy. You can register just by emailing us at iibms2020@gmail.com, and we will gladly give you all the information. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. Okay. Where are we now? Here we go. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to today's broadcast. We're dealing with this Osteen family, this nutty family. But listen, nutty, mm-hmm. but well-to-do. Nutty, but listen.
Yes.
Raking in the bucks. Raking in the bucks.
Absolutely. You know, their yep. nuttiness has nothing to do with the money they're making.
That's it. They're making
so I guess
money hand over
fist. People like
fist.
It.
Yeah, yeah, people like it. People like to be lied to. It dawned on me, you know what I'm saying, but why are they so popular? Well, it just happens to be that people like to be lied to. They just
right.
love it. They
yes.
they feed on lies. People just love it.
Yes.
And the more you lie to them, you know, the more they come back.
That's right.
They'll keep coming back.
Jesus lost people because he wouldn't lie to them.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when we started the Bible school, we had 80 people registered. They were so excited. Oh, we're so excited. And then as I started to teach the different classes, the numbers of the because at registration, we had 200 listens. Now, we had only 80 students, but we had 200
right.
listens.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, 80 students. Okay. So now we're down to 40 listens. That means that 40 are gone.
And reduced by half in just a couple of months. You doing good, brother.
That's it. That's by the end of the year, I'll be down to 5. I'll be down to my record. I mean, you know, it never fails with me. I just have this gift
you
to
have
just
this
turn
gift.
People off. Yeah, it's a gift. It's a spiritual
that's
gift.
That's your anointing.
That's my anointing. Listen, people abandon everything I'm doing. I mean, it's just I'm just gifted that way, you know. And but listen, they're gonna get. They may not like what I'm saying, but it's the Bible truth. You know, we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful. And look, this is free. You know, I'm sure that, listen, if Joel Osteen started a Bible Institute, let's say that he's not, let's say that he would not.
Those schools.
Right. Let's just say that Joel Osteen would not teach, but he would just lend his name. Let's say if Joel Osteen did the Joel Osteen School of Ministry, and he put $1,000 on the price, listen, he would have no shortage of people giving him the $1,000.
Right.
No shortage. We're doing this thing for free, and people are saying, I'm cutting class. I'm out of here. Goodbye. You know. Yeah, that's my anointing. Now nobody prophesied to me that was my anointing. But I know now that that's my anointing. That's my anointing.
Oh.
I cause people to just run. But that's okay. But
right.
So we're here today to talk about the Osteens and what a dynasty it is. And it's only getting stronger. It's only getting stronger.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's like Joel puts his kid up there, and it's like the demon that is speaking through Joel jumps on his son, and it's the same kookiness. It's the same, you know.
Right.
You know, no notes.
Just
they have,
just
if you notice,
like
no
from
notes.
John to John Osteen to Joel and now Joel to Jonathan. It's the
right,
same
right.
type of thing.
Right. And notice, J. John, J. Joel, and J. Jonathan, I would say the jokers are running wild. That's, you know, jokers are wild. I mean, that's what that is.
Yes.
Wow, I tell you. It's amazing. Amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid is well. I mean, they're open arms to this kid. They're
right.
just welcoming him, you know. And it's amazing. So set this up for us.
Well, before we get into the Osteens, I did have a couple things on a couple of past subjects that I thought I would share
okay.
today. And the first one in the first audio is about Kanye West, and that you know, we had the Grammys this past week. I think it was over the weekend, and he won an award. So this So the first audio is the announcement for that award. So
we can listen to that,
and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
For Best Contemporary Christian Music Album, the nominees are Cody Carnes, Hillsong Young and Free, We the Kingdom, Torrin Wells, Kanye West.
And the Grammy goes to Jesus is King, Kanye West. On his behalf. Kanye can't be here with us, and I will accept this Grammy on his behalf.
Well, why didn't Kim pick it up? Why wouldn't his beloved wife pick it up?
They not even talking to each other.
Okay, all right.
Except,
well, listen.
Except through their lawyers.
Right, right. Well, listen, Kanye needs to command his morning. See? He didn't listen to Cindy Trim and say, you know, I command my morning and let all my troubles be gone.
Right.
Yeah.
But I thought that was funny, because we listened to some of that album looked at Kanye, and so I thought, you know, Jesus said when we see certain things happen, look up for our redemption draws nigh. Kanye West winning the Best Contemporary Christian Album Grammy.
Crazy.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. And all the parts that I listened to, I said, wow, this is horrible. This is just horrible. But now, what causes someone to win the Grammy? Is it like a group of judges that they decide, or is it record sales that decides? How does one earn a Grammy?
Well, there's an Academy of Artists, sort of like with the actors. There's the similar organization with the musicians and singers and stuff. And I guess record sales, streaming now that everything is online, downloads, I'm sure that kind of stuff goes into it, how much money it makes. But I don't know. It's a mystery to me how this one won. I mean, that's what it used to be about, but I don't know. I'm wondering if some people just can buy a Grammy, or if it's someone that they want to promote and keep in the limelight, then they're going to put them out there. And it's not always about talent or even how good the work is.
Correct.
And now, I haven't listened to a lot of, you know, I've been out of the loop on a lot of this music. I just don't listen to a lot of these new artists, so I don't know what's out there. But I have to believe it had to be something out there that was better than Kanye's album.
Yeah. I mean, my singing would be better than Kanye.
If that's the best, oh, my goodness. We're in trouble.
Oh, we're in big time trouble. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, I don't know anything about gospel music. You know, I really don't. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't tell you what Christian artists are. I know Snoop Dogg was an artist, because there's something on YouTube about him, and he's in a choir robe. I know he was an artist. But other than that, I mean, I can't tell you what's the latest song, who's the latest artist, you know. I can't tell you. I just can't. So Kanye, wow. And, on his behalf, what is it? He's in a rubber room with a straitjacket. What's up? I mean, why is he AWOL? Why is he not there?
Well, Kanye is weird like that, and he was feuding with the industry just a few months ago, and there was a video to put out where he actually had other Grammys that he had won, and he put those in the toilet, and from the video it appeared he was urinating on the Grammy in the toilet.
Wow.
Who knows with Kanye?
Wow. Yeah. Or maybe he was in the Oval Office. Maybe he thought he won the election and was, you know.
Well, that whole thing happened while he was supposedly running. He was doing other crazy stuff. So, but I don't know if because of COVID, that might have been virtual. So nobody was there probably.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I saw some people when she was kind of stumped because she was waiting to see if Kanye was there.
Yeah, it
I
looked
saw
like
some
it
people,
was somebody there. Yeah.
There's a few people there in the audience. So who knows? Who knows? But, Kanye, wow. I tell you, that's another guy. That's another guy who I don't know why he is so successful. That's a head scratcher for me right there. Now, why Kim married him? That's easy. The money. The money. She's looking for the
popularity, the platform that he has that she could, you know, boost her profile. But she doesn't need him anymore. She's got more money than him.
Right. She doesn't need him. Plus, he's going to be supporting them kids. That's for sure, because she's going to take half his kingdom. Half his kingdom. Because, you see, women of that ilk want their kids taken care of because, you know, Kanye's not going to turn into a monk once Kim leaves. You know he's going to get himself another woman. And if he gets himself another woman, that woman wants babies. So that's why Kim is going to go in there and take her half for her kids.
Right,
in case there is another woman.
Her kids would be set.
Right. Or if he goes bonkers and loses whatever he's got left, because, you know, these people, you know, one or two big bad deals and they're bankrupt, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, crazy. We live in a crazy world.
The ironic thing about it is Kanye had a song out of years ago called Gold Digger. Apparently, he didn't listen to his own advice.
That's horrible.
Because he wasn't with Kim when he put that song out.
Wow. Amazing.
So the next item we're gonna look at before we get to back to the Osteens is our buddy Kirk Franklin, and he was trending pretty much all weekend on social media because he had a meltdown or a fight with his oldest son, and the son was recording the phone call. And he then took a portion of that phone call and put it out on social media. And it's not good. It is a cursing fit. Kirk Franklin is dropping F-bombs he had covered just about most of the worst ones you could use in about a 45-second clip. To include taking the Lord's name in vain.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's it. The kid was saying my dad's a phony, is what the kid's saying.
Right. Well, they've been going at it for years, and apparently the son's been putting things on social media about Kirk. And so I guess he decided to put this out because maybe people didn't believe him or thought he was crazy or whatever.
Right.
know, when you're a Kirk Franklin and you've got that kind of success and notoriety, a lot of people are going to cover for you.
Right.
But the next email I sent you is actually a news article from the Daily Mail, and they've got got about three videos in this, embedded in this article, and I'll tell you which one we need to look at because they have the actual unedited clip, but I don't want to listen to that one.
Okay.
So let me know when you have it, and I'll tell you which video.
Up. Yeah,
okay, so scroll down until you see a link for a video called Gospel Legend Kirk Franklin Unloads on Estranged Son. This is like a little news clip.
Okay, I'm trying to scrolling down, Gospel Legend. All right, they got a bunch of stuff here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to have that titled on the clip.
Yeah, there's a couple of pictures, a couple of... I'm seeing here. Okay. Kirk Franklin apologizes after son's leak. Right? No.
Now you've gone down too far. Go back up.
Okay, okay. Yeah, all right, here it is.
Stealing credentials is the number one hacking technique. It is often used to deploy account takeover attacks. Can you afford to have your Office 365 data compromised? Introducing the first...
Now to the very latest in the family drama happening between legendary gospel singer Kirk Franklin and his estranged son. 32-year-old Kirian Franklin released this audio of a very intense exchange between him and his father.
You need to get your back out of the way before I put my foot in your
I dare you. All right, let's go to senior correspondent Alicia Quarles in New York for more on this one. And Alicia, do we know what prompted this heated phone call?
We don't, Thomas. We're not sure why Kirian and Kurt are fighting. It's not the first time the pair has gotten into it. But back in 2018, Kirian accused his dad of abuse and even trying to kill him. Now, Kurt said the family has a strained relationship with Kirian and even calls it toxic. He actually went to his own social media to address this issue.
Recently, my son and I had an argument that he chose to record. I felt extremely disrespected in that conversation, and I lost my temper. And I said words that are not appropriate. And I am sincerely sorry to all of you.
And Thomas, Kurt says they tried to repair the relationship with years of therapy, but nothing's worked. In fact, during this convo, he actually called the family therapist, but Kirian chose not to release that part. And the gospel legend says that he's not perfect, and he asked for everyone to pray for him and his family.
You know, it seems like a really difficult family matter to navigate here. We hope that the whole Franklin family is really able to come together on this. Just a reminder, life is too short. Alicia, thank you very much. Alicia Quarles reporting.
That's not the issue, life is short. That's not the issue. The issue is he presents himself as a minister of the gospel, and that kind of language is unacceptable under any circumstance.
Right.
Plain and simple.
And you had just did the teaching where you were coming out of the book of James, you know, at the Institute. So I thought of that when I saw this video about, you know, the tongue, because they bleeped out a lot of it. The actual video is just terrible. I have heard the uncut version.
Right.
And one thing, and some people say, well, you know, especially any parent out there knows that sometimes you just have at least one kid sometimes that's just willful, and you go at it with them, and they can take you to a place. I get all that. And also, it's not that we're saying just because of this one incident that we're not judging Kirk by that. When I heard this, I looked at it as another piece of evidence to show Well, for me, I just have serious doubts whether this man is even a brother in the Lord. Just because he's been around the church and doing music all his life doesn't mean he's born again. And what's in you a lot of time comes out under extreme circumstances. That's sometimes who you really are. And apparently Carrion knows how to push these buttons. I think Kirk might have a Absalom on his hands. This kid is trying to destroy him, because what else, why else would he put this out there for public consumption?
Right,
and Kirk had to get out there and do his apology video, because he's got the look out for his image, and it could affect his a lot of things. He could get released from hosting the TV show that he has, and all these things he's got going could be in jeopardy because of this. And but because he didn't apologize to his son or even to God, he apologized to the fans.
Right.
In that video.
Right. Your number one church is your family. That's your number one
mm-hmm.
church. And like I said before, my wife and I, if we could combine our energies and forces together, the both of us would command our mornings, and the first thing on our list would be our children. We have four teenagers.
Absolutely.
Right? Four teenagers. And teenagers are rough. It's, you know, they're rough. They're rough. Mm-hmm. So when I see that she's at the point where she's going to go all Godzilla on Tokyo, I step in. When she sees
right.
that I'm about to go all King Kong on New York, she steps in.
Yeah.
Right? So, but we never use that kind of language, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
But this isn't a kid. This son is 33 years old. But they've
right.
been having this type of relationship for years, apparently, you know. And so they don't get along. And I don't know if you remember when we looked at Kirk Franklin, he would talk about how he was a teenage father. Well, this is that child. Guess he was living with him some of the time. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you
okay,
now.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I don't know what happened. I don't know. Okay, so I'm not even touching the phone, so I don't even know what happened.
Right.
Okay, so you were saying that he's 32 years old?
Right, and that Kirk Franklin had talked about being a teenage father, so this is the child that that's his firstborn.
Right, and see, the thing is, your kid, when your son, when your daughter, when your child sees you apologizing to everybody but them. So, listen, Kirk Franklin didn't direct those words at me. He didn't direct those words at you, but he seems to be apologizing to us. Well, you know, Jesus said, you know, if you have something. You know, if you have a problem with one of your brothers, put your offering down and go to that brother. Don't make up with the brother that everything's okay with. Go make up with the brother that, you know, you have a problem with. So,
right. And,
you know,
and you have to ask that if this hadn't been recorded and put out to the public, would Kirk have even addressed it at all?
No. 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 So that's it. It's a bad relationship, and you know, you got to win your family first. You got to do that. You have
right.
to.
And also, you know, Kirk said he lost his temper, but I'm really wondering about that, and here's why. I did listen to the original video, as I said,
right,
and just in the beginning of it, of the clip, I hear Kirk say, if you think I'm reading a script, okay, let me say it like this. And then he goes into his cussing tirade.
Wow.
So to me, it sounds like he did. He was angry and frustrated, most likely, but he did have some control over what he was doing. It wasn't one of them things where he just flipped out. It could be where it sometimes just like, well, if you, when I talk sense to you, you don't seem to understand. So let me say it this way.
How it went. Right.
You know, that's what I heard on the clip, that he actually knew what he was doing.
Yeah, it's sad because, again, the
and
world
it's a black eye for the church.
Yeah. Now, here's a guy who is demanding social justice for a woman that had been gunned down, right? I mean, isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But here you are gunning down your own child. You know,
and I don't doubt that the young man provoked him. You know, people know how children know how to push your buttons like that.
Oh, I know that. Listen, when our kids here act up, right? When they act up, you know, the wife and I do. We say, "See you later. We're going for a ride." We get in the car. we go get something to eat. Then we go window shopping at the Salvation Army, you know, the youth furniture place, and we see what's on the racks. We just go out. When they're all four together, you know, giving us lip, okay. Mm-hmm. And then we don't even come back until 9 o'clock at night, and they say, "We're hungry, we didn't have dinner." Well, you're big enough now to make your own dinner.
Exactly.
You're teenagers.
Right.
Right? You don't you don't want to live under this roof. So this is like your apartment. See if you can fend for yourself. You can't even, and the rent is paid. There's food in the, you mean to tell me food's in the refrigerator and the rent is paid and the lights are on and you got all these gadgets that you, and you can't even cook for yourself? How are you going to make it on your own? So we don't even bother. We just get in the car and we say bye bye. We don't even mess with it until they come back asking for forgiveness, because we ain't doing nothing. We're just being parents. We're just, you know, that's it.
Well, maybe Kirk and his son just did not need to not deal with each other for a time, and then maybe later on. There was also, Kirk said that there was also a counselor. He called the family counselor to try to help mediate the situation. I don't know if the counselor was on there for his cursing fit, but guess who the counselor was?
Who was it?
Hello? It was T.D. Jakes.
Unbelievable. Here's a guy who has a mess in his house, and he's the counselor.
Absolutely, yeah. Because you know, Sarah and his daughters and one of his sons definitely has some issues.
Sure. Hey, listen, that's like calling Creflo Dollar to give you advice on your daughter when he was arrested for whatever happened in his house.
Right.
Right? I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. He smacked her or he got loud with her and he got arrested. Right? I mean,
yeah.
You going to ask Creflo Dollar to give you advice?
No. Oh.
It's crazy. It's just crazy.
But it looks like for the most part, the Kirk Franklin's fans are probably not going to be too affected by this. They paint the picture of the son as just this guy that's just looking for attention, which he could be, because And he's just like his father in that regard, because I've, you know, seen some posts on social that he put out there, and you know how Kirk likes to wallow in his past pain and experiences, so Carrion seems to like to do that too.
Right. Well, with a name like Carrion, you know.
Isn't that dead stuff? That's what I thought when I first heard it.
Right. That, again, that's a weird name, one. And two, if you name a kid Carrion, he's just going to carry on with his foolishness. I mean, it's like, oh, that's the name.
He's living up to his name.
Right. I mean, what is he? You name him, first of all, you name him Roadkill, because that's what Carrion is, Roadkill.
Right.
And then, you know, no wonder the kid is carrying on. You gave him that name. I mean, he's mad at you because you gave him that name. Let me just read here out of James, because it goes back to what we were saying about leadership, right? And this is a guy. This isn't a young Kirk Franklin. This is not a young Kirk Franklin.
Kirk is in his 50s.
Right. This is supposed to be the standard bearer of gospel music, right? I mean,
yeah.
Okay. So I just want to read this one passage. It says in verse number 10, James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. It's a contradiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to go, if there's a stream of water and I want my sheep to, you know, and I find out that the water is poisonous, I'm not going to let my sheep have access to that water. It's
right.
Poisonous. It's just poisonous. Every house I've ever bought in the country, you know, the houses come with wells. Up here, there's no plumbing. We don't live in a city, so there's no plumbing from, you know, there's no water plant that is pumping water in a house through pipes. Everybody owns a private well. Well, one of the things that you have to do when you buy a house out here in the country, when you do the home inspection, right, because you have to pay for a home inspection to make sure the house doesn't have termites or, you know,
right,
doesn't have asbestos in it. And one of the things that you also have them do is check the well. You want to know if the well is contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's one of the – and why is that? Well, because, again, does a fountain set forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? See, Kirk Franklin is confusing.
Yes, he is.
On the one hand, he's blessing God, and on the other hand, he's cursing. James says this can't be. Something's amiss. And it all goes back to the church not knowing the scriptures.
Right. Or a person like Kirk Franklin, he was kind of a wonderkind, you know, a prodigy musically, and he's been
right.
Playing music and leading choirs and doing all that stuff, and unfortunately the church will overlook a lot of stuff for a talented person.
Right. But see, that also is detrimental, because you got to say to yourself, see, people in the church, if you have, let's say, if you have a gift, whatever that gift may be, but if you're in sin, they won't say nothing. Why? Because when they put you up there for the conference, you draw people.
Right.
So, in other words,
money.
Right. So what they do is they're really prostituting you. They know you have issues. They know you have issues, and let's just keep it hush-hush. We'll overlook it, because this guy will fill up my conference, or this gal will fill up my conference. See, and you got to say, wait a minute. These people really don't have my best interest, because if they had my best interest, they would confront me about my sin.
Right.
But all they want from me is the money that I'm able to produce for them.
Exactly.
And that's the church. Mm-hmm. That's just the church. That's the church today.
Get by this from what I've seen with comments and different things people make. They're fans of his music, and
sure,
then his colleagues
sure.
coming to his rescue. One of them, Marvin Sapp, also he sent out a tweet that had Galatians 6:1 in it. You know, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you restore such a one in love. That verse. But I'm like, but Marvin, you skipped right on over Galatians 5, where
right.
it's talking about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't hear the fruit of the spirit in that cussing tirade we just
right.
heard.
Right. See, and it's what Jesus said about the tree. A good tree does not produce bad. Now, okay, we're not talking about Franklin when he was a teenager. We're not talking about that Franklin, right? He had the boy when he was a teenager, probably wasn't. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Franklin
right.
in the current, in his current position. This is
who's
horrible.
Who's supposed to be a mature Christian. And I'm not
correct.
Saying that we can't be tempted. We can't fall into sin. You know, these kind of things can happen. But the son is implying that this is an ongoing thing. And this time he just decided to put it out there. And plus
right,
we listen to Kirk's music and his lyrics and his collaboration. So there's a lot of stuff that is troubling about Kirk Franklin even before I heard this video.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, listen, the kid is spot on. This is not new. This is daddy, you know, in his normal, home life. However, that
right.
said, the kid, you know, kind of blew up the bridge, and then Franklin
yeah,
kind of blew up the bridge. So they both blew up the bridge, and
mm-hmm.
it don't amount to nothing because the kid is not going to get his desired result. Because, like you said, people in the church are just going to say, hey, this guy makes money for us.
Mm-hmm.
We need him at the next concert or at the next whatever. He's a moneymaker. This guy
right.
produces. So what they'll do is, okay, let's quote Galatians 6:1, and if a brother, you know, and we'll solve it with that. That'll be the Band-Aid.
Right. Right. We'll pray the demon off of him and bind the demon
right.
and decree and declare
it.
And it'll
it.
Be all good.
Right. And the son is awful and the son is a turncoat and, you know, he's.
Yeah.
And listen, the kid obviously is hurt. Right.
Yeah.
When mm-hmm. kids act out that way, they just want their dad. They want a normal. And we don't know why it's not a normal relationship. Maybe the kid
right.
was abandoned or whatever, right? You know, Kurt was young. He was just trying to find his way. He had a baby out of, you know, young, wasn't a
right.
good father, has never been a good father. He's been so busy. Like T.D. Jakes. How did T.D. Jakes'
yeah.
daughters get pregnant? He's not at the house.
Right.
And same thing with Kurt
exactly.
Franklin. He's running around doing music and meeting with this executive. And these people aren't home. They're not home. Listen, I'm home. My wife's home. My wife homeschools. I'm here. I'm the daddy. I love all my kids. And we have, listen, we have to get up in the morning and command our morning. And we're here.
Exactly.
You see, I mean, it's, listen, parenting is hard work. That's
yeah.
That's what it is. You know?
Right.
And my wife blames me. She says, those are your genes, and I blame her. No, those are your genes. Nobody in my family acts
exactly.
like that. And she said, well, you know,
uh-huh.
and that's, you know, that's it.
But apparently Kirk Franklin's daughters and other kids are involved, and naturally they're taking up for their daddy. But they've had a less contentious relationship with him than the oldest boy. I guess he feels like the outsider.
In the end, that's your son. And before
right.
you go and make peace with the world, make sure you make peace with your son. That's my motto is, as for me and my house, right? I mean,
right.
Before I try to pastor a congregation of 50 families, let me see if I can pastor my own family first.
And Kirk has been presented as this guy that's really for the youth and the kids and the thing, their challenges. But then here he's got this craziness with his own kid going back from years.
Right. That's it. Kiss up, make up with your son, tell him you love him. Do everything you can. Go out of your way to just be there for him. That's your offspring. That's your offspring. That's it. That's, you know. Look at Billy Graham. Look, the other day I saw something where the daughter finally forgives her father.
Ruth. Yeah,
I saw
that. Saw a video on that too. Yeah.
Right.
She's an old lady now, ain't she?
Right. Right, and she's mad. She's resentful. She's got issues. You see,
yeah.
And here you are trying to save the world, and here's your daughter. You're dead and gone now 10 years, and she's still mad. Still mad. That's sad. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. No, listen. You gotta be real at home. If you're not real at home, you're not real anywhere.
Right.
That's it.
So maybe through this embarrassment, maybe the Lord can get Kirk Franklin's attention, because we know it's not God's will that any should perish. You know, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So maybe
right.
God can use this situation for both of them, Kirk and Carrion, and so that they can reconcile their relationship and also reconcile their relationship with God, because I have my doubts about Kirk. I'm just going to be honest.
Absolutely.
With
you. No. Listen, you can't sing Earth, Wind, and Fire music and tell me you have the Holy Spirit. No, I'm sorry. No.
Right.
No. No, and you know all these guys cover for each other. You know, listen, the
yeah.
Godfather, Mr. Corleone, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy comes to him. Look, they raped my daughter. Godfather, can you do something for me? And the Godfather, you know, sends two guys to break the guy's legs. Okay, so now what does T.D. Jakes do? He's the Godfather. He's covering for Kurt. But later on, he's gonna say, "Hey, Kurt, remember?
He's gonna want a favor."
He's going to want a favor. He's going to want a favor. That's the way it is. It's insane. It's insanity. Insanity.
Yes.
Insanity.
Exactly.
Wow.
So that's what I wanted to share about that. I just think overall, since the world lumps us all together, that's not the true church, the true body of Christ, but that's
right.
all people see. So this
mm-hmm.
is yet another black eye for Christendom.
Sure. High-profile people, everybody thinks that high-profile people represent the church. They don't.
Right.
They're the hustlers of the church.
Exactly.
That's what they're the hustlers. That's all they are. They're the kingpins, you know. They make the money. They make the backroom
mm-hmm.
deals. But they're
right.
not the church. They're not the church.
All right. So now we can get back to Mr. Jonathan Osteen. I just wanted to share those other two things
mm-hmm.
with you.
Okay.
And so what we're going to do, we looked at this news clip, this little interview with his music group, LYA, last week, but
right,
I thought
right.
it would be a good lead into what we're going to pick up with today.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're ready with the third audio.
Here it is.
Hello. IA. They just released their new single, Feelin'. Now, the group is in town for America's Night of Hope with Joel and Victoria Osteen. And the band consists of Joel and Victoria's two children, Jonathan and Alexandra Osteen, as well as their friends Louis Garcia and Abel Orta. And this morning, the whole gang is here. Welcome to Detroit. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks for having us.
This is kind of a new thing for you guys.
Yeah, this is brand new, actually. Maybe a month old, officially.
So what is LYA?
LYA. We're a band from Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. It's us four. We make music. We sing songs. We hope to make an inspiring impact on people and just have a great time.
So you guys meet at church and decided, hey, we kind of sound good together.
Yeah, most of us, we grew up in the church, so we've been there a couple of years, and we just decided, hey, it's about time we start making our own music.
So what's it like to have a new single out?
Oh, it's crazy. It still doesn't feel real. When people listen to it or people tweet us and they're showing themselves listening to the song, it's crazy.
So that's out there? Is it on the radio? What are you guys looking to do with it?
Yeah.
It's available on all digital music platforms, and we're just super excited about it being out. It's like it's a super out-of-body experience because I'm just like, I can't believe it's actually happening. It's been a long time coming. So the fact that it's really happening, it's really out, and people are listening to it, it's unbelievable.
So your mother and father will be here tomorrow as well for a night of hope, and you guys are going to perform?
Yeah.
So tell me, what's that night like?
So that night it's going to be a really fun night, first of all. Yeah, you're going to come, get inspired, get encouraged, have a good time. We're going to play some songs, us and the Lakewood Music team, which we're also a part of. We're going to play some songs. My dad's going to speak, and it's just going to be a really great night.
So a lot of people are curious. You know, you want to be in the spotlight following your parents. Is this your mission? Is this your goal? What's next for you guys?
Yeah.
We have the same, we're obviously into music. My dad speaks, but we have the same message as my dad. We just want to, like, inspire others and, like, bring hope and positivity to them, like, through our music, because it's just something we've always loved to do, and so we're just excited about it all happening and having that same message.
Have you guys been to Detroit before?
Never.
So what's it been like? You guys have been here for how long now?
A day now.
A day.
We had good food. Republic, it was a restaurant we went to yesterday.
It was actually.
So tell me about a night of hope tomorrow. What can people expect at Comerica Park?
Like I said, you can expect to have a really good time. We're going to play some songs. My dad's going to speak. You're just going to get to come and experience something new, be uplifted, be encouraged, be inspired, and really be just filled with hope.
Is this something you guys are just doing over the summer? Are you going to different cities?
We're kind of spread out right now because you guys are in school, but for the summer, we're all together and, you know, writing songs and recording together in the studio, and we hope to keep it going for the rest of the year and next year, and, you know.
So this is summer vacation?
In a way,
yeah.
In school? Yeah, we are.
So that's quite a summer vacation, and you have a new single coming out as well today?
Yeah, today. Lakewood Music, which we're also a part of, released a single called Living the Wonderful. And so we're so excited about that. We all had a part in it, and it's really cool that that's out there now.
That's fantastic. So tomorrow, A Night of Hope, you guys will be singing. Just incredible. Your whole family will be there. We're so happy to have you in the studio. Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll be right back after the break.
All right. So now he looks like his mom, and she looks like her dad.
Yeah.
The facial,
so
you know, the facial features.
Yeah, the Night of Hope, I think this was around the time when they really put Jonathan out on the stage. It was through his music at first, and he would perform at the Night of Hope events for Joel and Victoria.
Okay.
So they mentioned a couple of songs. You know, I'm going to have to torture you a bit today, brother.
Okay.
I thought since one of the news clips we listened to last week referred to Jonathan as a triple threat because he preaches, sings, and plays an instrument, so I figured we'd take a look at a bit of his music. So the next two audios are the songs that he mentioned in the interview they just did. The next audio is Living the Wonderful.
Okay. Hey, you know, I never thought of myself as a triple threat, but when I finish this show, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to have a little bit of swagger, and my wife's going to look at me. She says, "What's the matter with you?" I'm going to say, "I just discovered that I'm a triple threat." And she says, "What do you mean?" Well, I sweep, I mop, and I do dishes. I'm a triple threat. You better respect me now.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Here's this clip.
Guys, is this your new...
All right. That's an embedded commercial.
Come on, guys. He's raising the hell.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Is he talking about God or a girlfriend?
Listen, I don't know. I couldn't even, again, mindless to me. It's not my cup of tea. I'm sure there are people who, you know, will buy the album. Not me.
Yeah,
you know.
But it mainly appeals to the youth. This is the next generation. A lot of the stuff that they do with this music, they do it at the functions for the youth at the church most of the time.
Right.
And then also they're out there for the main services as well. Although I haven't seen Jonathan much this year in the services that I've looked at. It's mostly Alexandria now, but I guess because Joel is more moving him to do other things to get him ready to be the pastor someday. So
right.
He may not be out there with the music as much now.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to see what you thought about this music, because as Alexandria said in that interview, that they are promoting her dad's message through the music. And that's why, as for me, I try to be discerning about music that I listen to as far as for spiritual enrichment or to get
right.
my mind on Christ and or to reinforce sound doctrine, this music is not going to do it.
No, not for me.
Because they're promoting a different gospel.
Absolutely. No, this, like I said, I'm sure there are people who will buy it. I don't know who those people are. They have to have their brains checked. But, you know, if people are buying their daddy's book, you'll find people that will buy the music.
Yes,
so,
that's true.
You know, that's that. I'm pretty sure pretty soon Jonathan is going to be on the New York Times bestsellers list too. I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure, I'm sure there's a book coming.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, this is the... they're cranking out stuff. It's like the Swaggerts, you know, Donnie, Gabriel, Francis. They're cranking out stuff, you know. It's about getting the whole, again, it's the whole family, you know. It's a family business.
Right.
That's what it is.
Okay. So I think we'll skip over the next audio and
okay.
go to audio number six. And this
right.
audio is the purpose and vision of John Osteen. And this is Jonathan out there doing some sort of soliloquy where he's going over the vision of his grandfather.
Okay.
And so I thought this was interesting.
All right, here it is. The love of the father.
No, that's the last.
Thank you for coming out or watching online and spending your weekend with us. I am so humbled and excited to get to share with you. Let me start off by wishing all the dads a happy Father's Day. Thank you for everything that you do. We love and appreciate you, and we are so glad to celebrate you this weekend. I've been blessed with an amazing father, so this year, I'm giving him the best gift I could think of by getting up here and giving him the week off. I spent the last few days watching him enjoy a mini vacation while I do his job. I'm not complaining, but he always made it look easy. It turns out this is a lot more work than I expected. So I thought, what better way to prepare for my first time speaking on a weekend than to go back and listen to his first message. He's come a long way, but how did he get started?
But my dad called me Monday night, and he said, Joel, are you sitting down? And I thought, oh, no, this is going to be bad for you. And I thought maybe he was about his health or something. He said, but I'm going to ask you something. Don't pass out when I ask you. And I thought, okay, what is it? And he said, will you preach for me Sunday morning? And I thought, boy, that was bad news. I said, but I thought about the advantages of being my first time. One, if I'm really bad and you don't enjoy it, when you walk out of here, you can say, you know, that boy has nowhere to go but up.
After seeing that, I realized I don't have a country accent, and I don't have a mullet. So in some ways, I think I'm already off to a better start. I guess there's nowhere to go but up. Today, I want to talk about the love of the Father. There are many different ways we can know God. We can know him as an all-powerful creator who made the universe and sits on a throne surrounded by angels. We can know him as this omnipotent being who parts seas and brings the dead to life. We can know him as a man with a big white beard who sits on a cloud and sounds like Morgan Freeman. Different people have different ideas of who God is. Some people see him as this distant cosmic being that couldn't possibly be concerned with their lives. Some see him as a holy, unapproachable figure to be feared and reverenced. Others think he's just waiting for them to make a mistake. They know God as someone with a long list of everything they've done wrong. But with Jesus came a new way to know God. Through him, we didn't just receive a Savior. We were given a Father. When the disciples asked Jesus how they should pray, the very first words he used were, "Our Father in heaven." Of all the ways he could have told us to relate to God, Jesus said he's our Father first. That's the best understanding we could have of God, one of a loving Father, someone that's proud of us, someone that cares, someone that cheers us on and lifts us when we fall. When we know this, we begin to realize God's not distant. He's not unapproachable. He's not mad at us. He is madly in love with us. Jesus, the Son of God, could have only...
Yeah, this is not the gospel. Yeah, this is
actually his first, very first sermon that he did on a Father's Day, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the gospel at all.
Yeah, you know, God, no doubt. I mean, we are the elect of God, chosen of God before the foundation of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All this, but. But when I look at myself, I'm not all that, you know.
No.
I'm a sinner is
right.
What I am. For I mean, God is madly in love with me.
yeah, I don't see – that's more like talking about a romantic human type of love, right?
Yeah. And
God loves us, but I wouldn't say he's madly in love with us. Like, I mean, it's just weird.
It's weird language. And, you see, twice the Lord, God the Father said of God the Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He said
right.
that at Jesus' baptism, and then he said that on the
right.
Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son." And now, he's mm-hmm. never said that about any of his other children.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's a difference. He's the only begotten of the Father. We are children by adoption. We have a fallen nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's who we are. I'm not on the same level as Jesus. Nobody,
right.
no child of God is on the same level of Jesus. This is just crazy talk.
Exactly. He's going to get to that scripture you just referred to later on in this sermon, but not yet. He's going to mangle it, though.
Okay. All right. Let's listen.
Referred to him as his Father. But when he spoke to people, Jesus would say, "Your Father." It was important to him that we see God this way. Each time he said this, Jesus was reminding us of the way God feels about us, that he's not just the creator of the universe, but he's your heavenly father. He's your biggest fan. He loves to spend time with you. He gets excited to talk to you. He always has your best interests at heart. Your father is a constant source of strength and protection. He's there to encourage you when you're down and push you forward when you feel like giving up. If he cares for the birds of the air, how much more must he care for you?
Listen. I'm a father, and his father's a father, right? And I'm pretty sure his father tells him, man, you're a rock star. You're just awesome. You're just, you know, you're just wonderful. You are the cat's meow. You know, you whatever phrase you want to use. I'm a father too, but if I was to look at Jonathan, I'd say, guy, listen, man, don't talk. Go study first. Concerning your music, it's not my cup of tea. I mean, now his father's going to gush all over him. But that's not God the Father. That's not God the Father. I'm sorry. That's not God the Father. Maybe your father's gushing over you. Maybe I gush over my children, you know. But that's not the way God views us. It's just not. And Sister AJ, I can't hear you. Are you on mute? Maybe you might want to call the hangout.
Hello?
Yeah, okay.
Hello?
Yeah. So
I must have hit the mute when I was moving my phone out of the way. I'm sorry.
Right. No problem. So, yeah, this is human fathers can gush over their children. You can go to your child's play, and your child has one line. Your child, and already you're giving your child the Academy Award. That's what we do.
Yes.
But
yes.
That's not God the Father. Let's get real now. Let's get real.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get real.
So do you think he's giving our Heavenly Father too many human-like qualities? You know, he's getting confused as to what our earthly dads do and how they feel about us, confused with how God sees us, like you said.
Absolutely.
Like God the Father is not necessarily our biggest cheerleader and okay, a fan of everything that we do, because if that was the case, why would Jesus need to come and die for our sin? Why would God send his wrath against the wicked at some point if that's how he felt about his human children?
Right, and even to the point where when you read the book of Hebrews, right, where he says we are the children of God and he chastises us.
Yes.
Well, when you compare that to Corinthians, when you compare it to Corinthians chapter 10 and you compare it to Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul says, listen, some of you have taken the Lord's Supper and you've done it not judging yourself, and for that reason many of you are sick, some of you are weak, and some of you have already fallen asleep. The chastisement of God at that moment was to kill you. That's scripture.
Right.
Right? I mean, in judgment, and Paul says, because many of you took the Lord's Supper fooling around and you didn't examine yourselves and you took this lightly, basically like Nadab and Abihu did when they brought in strange fire, for this reason, there's three levels of chastisement. Some of you are weak, which is the first level. Some of you are sick, and some of you have fallen asleep. He doesn't mean you fell asleep because the sermon was boring. He means God laid you out. You see, and that's
right.
And again, there are levels of chastisement. So you mean to tell me God is just gushing all over me? When he just laid me out. He put me to sleep. He did that to Ananias and Sapphira.
I was just thinking about them.
Yeah. So you see, he's our father, but he's not a human father. He's not.
Right.
He's holy. He's just. And when you approach him, you better approach him with reverence.
Exactly.
You can't be calling God and you just can't be, talking about him or talking to him the way you like to. Because
right.
even your human father won't, take that.
Exactly. So he's giving yep. too many human qualities to a holy God. So he's already off on the wrong foot with this sermon.
Right, right. You know, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He says that in Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
So, to let us know, okay, he's our Father, but on a different level and in a different kind of relationship, he's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's our Father by adoption. Completely different.
Right. And when he was talking and giving these human-like qualities to God, I thought of how Isaiah saw God in Isaiah 6, starting at verse 1, if I may. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And he goes on to describe other things that he's seeing there. But it's this God that Isaiah is describing, and you see it again in the book of Revelations, a similar scene.
Right.
That doesn't sound like what Jonathan is talking about.
No, no. In fact, the Old Testament.
This one here in the scriptures is not one to be played with.
Right, right. And you make a great point because You look at fathers who indulge their children. Example, mm-hmm. you have Eli, whom God said to him, God sent Eli a prophet, and God said to him, you prefer your sons over me. You indulge them too much. You give in to them too much. You laugh at the stupid and sinful things that they do when you know mm-hmm. that I'm a holy God and that I would not permit that in my tabernacle. So God took out those two boys and the daddy.
That's right.
Right? You look at David and how David indulged his children. How it ended up for his son Amnon and how it ended up for Absalom. That was orchestrating that cleanup. You may indulge your children. You may laugh at the sinful things your children, but not God. God's not laughing at that. Oh, he's your biggest cheerleader. Shut up. What are you talking about? Be quiet. Talking nonsense.
He's creating a cartoon character.
Please. Please. No, that's not the God of Scripture. It's not. We have many parents who just turned a blind eye to their children, and God wouldn't. And God made sure that He wiped out those kids. He made sure of that. Here's more.
Maybe you grew up without a father, or he was harsh in dealing with his own struggles. You may have gotten used to him not being there for you, or never being able to measure up. But we can't let who our earthly father wasn't, to distort the truth of who our heavenly father is. He may have been difficult to please, but know that God has always been pleased with you. He may have been quick to find fault.
What? God has always been pleased with you?
No, no, no. What's the scripture? God is angry with the wicked all the day.
And all have sinned?
Just the judge. Yeah.
And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
God has always been happy with me? I doubt that.
No, he hasn't.
I doubt that
very much doubt that.
Wow.
I thank him for his mercy that he did not destroy me in my sin like he's done in the past. That's his long suffering, but he's not going to wink at sin.
He's not going to wink at sin, and when you sin, there are consequences to sin that he does not remove.
That's right.
He doesn't remove the consequences. There are many times he doesn't remove the physical consequences. You may pray
That's
for him
true.
To heal you, but he does. There are many times he doesn't.
That's right.
There are consequences. You know, Kurt Franklin, right?
The wages of sin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did what he did in his youth, and now he's living out the consequences of this. Listen, like you just said.
This boy is becoming. Go ahead,
like
sir.
You just said, God's mercy. I'm here today. Listen, I'm here today, and I'm able to do what I do for the Lord because his mercy endures forever. Which one of us in the past did not bring strange fire to the church? When I was in my, you know, in my youth, who didn't bring strange fire? Come on, let's be real now. It's by his mercy. God is merciful. But I know he's not happy with me. He's always been happy. My natural parents weren't always happy with me.
No, if I bought home a bad grade, that was a rough evening for me.
That's it. No, this is nonsensical talk. Nonsensical.
Right.
Here's more.
But know that God is filled with mercy. He may have been absent, but remember, God has promised to be with you always. But some people never see God as proud of them. They're too busy criticizing themselves. They think they're not smart enough. They don't look the right way. They don't have enough talent. They've decided if they don't like themselves, then God couldn't either. They know he loves them, but he couldn't actually like them. They're not as funny as their friends. They're not as gifted as their siblings. They don't have a great career like their neighbor does. He would never want to show them off. Don't be like them. Your heavenly Father is the one who breathed life into you. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. He's the one who gave you your smile, your personality, your gifts, your uniqueness. Everything about you has been carefully designed into what he calls a masterpiece. When God looks at you, he sees a masterpiece. He's amazed.
Listen. God looks at a masterpiece, and my wife looks at a mess. Yesterday she said, go find the barber, and don't come back until you come back with a haircut. because all these months, because of COVID, I couldn't find a barber.
And been able to go, right?
Right. So, if I had listened to the sermon, I said, honey, you got it wrong. You're looking at a masterpiece.
I'm a masterpiece.
I'm a masterpiece. I don't know what you're talking about. Little Jonathan Osteen
right.
told me I was a masterpiece. Listen,
and
this is a
talking about surface things, but, you know, as God told Samuel when he sent him to anoint a new king, which was David, he said, you look at the outside, because Samuel saw a couple of the older brothers, and he's like, yeah, that's the one. And God
mm-hmm.
said, no, you look at the outside, but I judge the heart. So
Correct.
All this stuff he's talking about looks and physical characteristics, God is not looking at that.
God chooses the weak things of this world, the foolish things. And it says, and the things that be not, that Greek, that mm-hmm. English phrase, and them that be not is the equivalent to zero. Mm-hmm. God looks at zeros. Right? And so I don't know what this, again, it amazes me how he can just talk up there, this gibberish. He has no notes. No
just
notes.
Just like it's, isn't that weird?
Yes. And listen, that's demonic to me. To me now, that's demonic inspiration. Mm-hmm. That's demonic. You listen.
You're trying to convince me that John, Joel, and Jonathan have photographic memories.
No.
And they could just study and be able to get up there and speak without any notes.
Right. And this is a rookie now. This is his first sermon.
This is his first sermon, yes.
Right? He's a rookie. And Sorry. Mm-mm. He's walking around and spitting out the same gibberish, the same drivel as his father. Same.
Yes.
Same nonsensical gospel. Misleading
gospel.
And
I have to ask you, brother, real quick. You've said you've heard Bradley Knight, Sarah Jakes, and now Jonathan. Which one would you say is the worst you've heard? Does Jonathan move ahead of those two, or what do you think so far?
Yeah, Jonathan is more. Jonathan is now T.D. Jakes' other daughter, the one who's chubby.
Cora.
Yeah, she beats all of them.
Yeah.
She'll beat all of them, but I would say Bradley Knight dead last. And Sarah Jakes dead second, and then Jonathan ahead of them. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I would call that race.
Okay.
Again, he's walking around. He's got no notes. He's got no notes. And he's talking and he's spouting out the same nonsense as his dad. But if you notice, I'm looking at the video, he doesn't look nervous to me. He's not stumbling over his words. He's flowing.
Right.
He's flowing in nonsense,
exactly.
But he's flowing. He's flowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So proud. He can't help but show you off. This is what he said in Scripture. Have you seen my servant Job? There is no one like him in all the earth. That's how God feels.
Right there, he contradicted himself. Because if there's no one else like him in all the earth, that means that everybody else is canceled out.
That's
we
right.
We all can't be. All 40,000 of us in this building, we all can't be like Job. Because there's no one like him in all the earth.
There's none other like him.
Right. He's one of a kind. It's like a diamond, if you find a one of these precious diamonds that are
like
in these museums.
Like the Hope Diamond or something.
Yeah, it's one of a kind. Like a Picasso, a painting or whatever, it's one of a kind. If there was 40,000 of that, it would be a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
He just
That's
contradicted
right.
himself. It's nonsensical. It's nonsensical. But the thing is, he's got no notes. See, listen, how do you string all of this together in your mind? How do you do this? I've been doing this for years.
Without at least an outline, I don't think I could do it.
No, listen, none of these preachers could do it. And I mean, if you're a Bible preacher, you can't do it. That's not the way it works. Now, if you're doing it like Fidel Castro, who was demonically energized, if you're doing it like Adolf Hitler, who was demonically energized, then that's a different story.
Or could it be on the level of like an actor that is able to memorize the script and then call that and then regurgitate that when they're on stage? Is that
listen?
Could we equate it to that?
With 4 days of preparation, he says, I have 4 days to do this. No.
It usually takes months for an actor to memorize.
You have rehearsals. You do rehearsals.
Yeah.
This is his first time. The first time. And he's flowing. See, I'm looking at his mannerism. I'm looking at his body language. And he's a pro.
He's very relaxed and comfortable.
Right. Sure. Singing is different
it's
because
not
you're
the
singing.
Same.
When you're singing, you're repeating the same lines. In
right.
a 3-minute song,
you got the music.
Yeah. It's different. Completely different. Okay.
He calls all the angels around and says, come here. Have you seen my son, Brian? There is no one like him. He's amazing.
Listen, the angels sang when Christ was born. The angels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. The angels showed up and told the shepherds,
yes.
You know, your king is born. And they sang.
Yeah, go. They sure did.
Nobody sang for me. My mother never told me, you know, we had angels singing at your birth. Come on, give me a break. There was no angels singing, taking pictures of me at my graduations. Please, give me a break. This is lunacy.
Yes,
lunacy.
It is.
Oh, and have you seen my daughter, Joy? She's the best. I'm so proud of her. And the angels say, yes, God, we've seen them. You do this every day. But God says, I know. I just can't help it. They're my children. That's the love of our Heavenly Father. When he looks at you, he smiles. He likes your height, your ability, your ideas. He's the one who gave them to you. Now, don't you dare let what other people have said or your own negative opinion tear down God's masterpiece.
Well, in a very subtle way, you did that to your daddy. You're talking about his mullet, and you talked about his country accent, and you said how today you're better off than he is. You have a better start than he had.
Right.
You see how he contradicts himself?
Mm-hmm.
This is nonsense.
But he's just really de-emphasizing the holiness of God, the Father, and giving him more and more human-like qualities, like he's Zeus or somebody. This is a different God that he's presenting here.
But as you know, in Greek mythology, Roman mythology, the gods have mm-hmm. their favorites.
Right.
Right?
Yes, they do.
Zeus isn't mm-hmm. up there telling the angels, go take pictures of all my children on earth. No. he's got Hercules, right?
Right.
Or the Greek gods have Jason. You know, Jason and the Argonauts, right? I mean, they're not mm-hmm. doting on everybody. They're not.
Right.
Everyone is not going to be a world changer and a history maker. That's not, no.
Well, that's what they like
threat.
To present.
Yeah, no, this is nonsense. This is nonsense.
No father wants to see their child living defeated and discouraged about who they are. If you were supposed to be any different, your Heavenly Father would have made you that way. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't leave things out. Let go of comparison. Let go of overly critical attitudes. Know that God is proud of you. And if he not only loves us, but he likes us, then we have permission to like who we are too. One of the first times I spoke here at church, I looked down at the front row and I saw not one, but both of my parents holding up their phones recording video. I thought, you guys are the pastors. If anyone can get a higher quality version of this message, it's you two. You don't have to record it on your phone. And on top of that, why are you both recording? You're sitting right next to each other. Can't one of you just send it to the other? It didn't matter. My parents sat on the front row for all three services and recorded them on their phone. Yes, they're the pastors, but they're parents first. And I know they recorded all those services because they were proud of me. And in the same way, God is proud of you. I imagine He's sitting on the front row of heaven with His phone pointed in your direction. He's cheering you on. He's celebrating every step that you take. He wants to remember every little triumph in your life.
Boy, when you take a snapshot of the seven churches of Revelation, and Jesus says, I'm about to spit you out of your out of my mouth, because you're neither hot nor cold. You know, when God says to the church of Thyatira, you know, I have this thing against you that you have permitted this woman Jezebel. When he speaks to the church of Ephesus, you know, you have forsaken your first love. I don't think God's taking snapshots and applauding everything that I do.
Right. He's like, and pointing his phone at us is like Victoria and her Jesus binoculars. Oh, my goodness. But he said something at the beginning of that little section that I think is key to who this God is that he's presenting, in that he said, I imagine. And Sarah Jakes used to do that a lot, too, in her speeches. I don't like to call them sermons.
Right.
I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a God of his own creation. This is the God as he imagines him, and not how God presents himself in Scripture.
Wonderfully observed. Great point. Great point. Great point. It's an imaginary God. It's a God that he created. It's a God he came up with. He takes a few parallel examples of fatherhood on earth, and then he attributes them to God. No, that's not, you can't do that. Okay.
You're so important to him, he doesn't want to miss a moment. Yes, he's God, but he's your father first. He could have a whole camera crew of angels on the scene, but he just can't help but do it himself. He's been looking forward to the day you were born. He couldn't wait to see you take your first steps. He was so proud when you graduated college, and he is so excited about the things he has planned for your future. Psalm 103 says, as parents feel for their children, so God feels for those who fear him. What's your image of God? Do you see him as your heavenly father? Can you picture him on the front row with his phone pointed toward you? He's not replaying your mistakes. He doesn't hold on to those. His camera roll is filled with love for you. When we have the right image of God, it gives us boldness. We can walk in confidence. It allows us to pursue our dreams and even overcome challenges. If the creator of the universe is for us, there is nothing that could stand against us. I've heard some people ask my dad to pray for them because they think he's closer to God than they are. They think maybe if a pastor prays, then God will listen. He's always happy to pray with them, but my dad reminds them, you don't need to go through a third party to talk to your heavenly father. You're as much a child of God as anyone else. You don't need a pastor, a priest, or a saint to connect your call. When he sees it's you on the line, God picks up right away. He won't put you on hold. It doesn't go to voicemail. As his son or daughter, you have priority access to your father. But some people don't want to bother God. They see prayer as a last resort. They think God's got bigger things to deal with than me. Understand this. You are God's biggest deal. You're his prized possession. There's no detail in your life that's too small to concern him. He numbered the hairs on your head. He ordered your days. Whether you like it or not, the Bible says he watches you when you sleep. No nuance of your life is too small to concern him. He wants to be involved. You're saying God cares about what I make on this test? He does. He cares that my car needs repairs? He does. He cares if I get a good night's sleep? He does. If it's important to you, it's important to God. He wants you to bring these things to him. When you call, he answers. When your name comes across his phone, so to speak, he smiles. He says, I'll be right there to help. The Bible tells us to acknowledge God in all our ways, not just before we eat, but in everything. He made the universe, and he made the atom. There's no detail too small to concern him. We don't have to pray in the King James Version, like Shakespeare authored it. You can if you want to, but Jesus said, this is your father you're dealing with. When I talk to my dad, I don't say, greetings, thy senior pastor of Lakewood Church. I request an audience with thee. No, he would think that was odd. When I talk to my dad, I just talk to him. In the same way, prayer is just talking to God. He wants to hear the details. He wants to be involved in your life. You can ask questions. You can express concerns. You can tell him what you're grateful for or what you need help with. When you go to your father, he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you good ideas. He'll give you direction. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to pray a perfect prayer. Like Jesus said, this is your father you're talking to. He already knows what you need. He just wants to hear from you. There are times we feel like we have to convince God to love us. We have to win him to our side. We think, maybe if I come to church enough, or if I do more good deeds, then I'll get some credit with him. The biggest lie that some of us believe is not that God's angry with us, it's that he's indifferent. Thoughts will tell us, if we perform better, then we'll get his approval. Then he'll show us favor. But when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, the moment he came out of the water, a voice boomed out of the heavens and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. What's interesting is up to this point, Jesus hadn't performed a single miracle. He hadn't opened any blind eyes, healed any lepers, raised Lazarus from the dead. He hadn't even turned water to wine. Yet his father said, he's my son, and I'm a proud dad. Jesus didn't win God's approval based on his performance. His father was pleased with him because of who he was, not what he had done. We tell ourselves, if I could be more disciplined, if I was more generous, if I only made better choices, then God would be proud. No, the truth is, God is well pleased with you just as you are.
As I look at him, every 10 seconds, he introduces a new concept. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, when right. you listen to him, he's, you know, he's just presenting new content, new path to go down. This right. is without notes. This is without notes. How does a rookie preacher preaching for the first time do this?
It's like he's hitting all of his bullet points, but he's hardly looking at any notes or cards or anything.
No, how do you do this unless by some inspiration?
And because this image of God that he's presenting is not a biblical one, I can guess it's not the Holy Spirit inspiring him.
Absolutely. This is the same. Listen, the demons that inspire his daddy, because he's doing what he's that. Listen, if Joe was to die tomorrow or Joe was to retire tomorrow, that church wouldn't skip a beat.
Right.
It's a different puppet, but it's the same ventriloquist.
Yes.
That's it. Different puppet, but the one throwing the voice is the same.
Same.
That's
yes,
it.
Yes, indeed.
That's it.
Then I was
there's no
thinking,
way. There's no way.
So there's no
preacher.
Way.
No, there's no way.
You don't detect any nervousness in his voice.
None whatsoever.
He's he said that he's done other speaking, and I know he did a lot of stuff with the young adults and the youth. So I think before this is hit mainly his first service sermon in the main service. So maybe he's done other things besides that. But you
if
know,
he's
a
done
little crowd
listen,
of kids
he,
is
right
is a little different than being on,
if he's
on
done,
in front of this big crowd.
Yeah. If he's done 50 sermons in front of kids, Sunday morning is a different thing altogether.
It, right, especially
remember,
when you know you're going to be on TV.
That's it. Sunday morning plus 10 million viewers around the world are looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's major, major, major pressure. Major.
I know you'd be able to hear my knees knocking.
Listen, this is again, and okay, he's up on the stage, he plays the guitar, blah, blah, blah. It's still.
It's not the same.
Different puppet, same ventriloquist. That's all it is. That's the best way to explain it.
Well, could it, and you know, and I'm thinking about how you're teaching the severity of what God expects when someone is a teacher or a preacher. Maybe it's so easy for these guys because they don't feel that pressure that you should feel when you know how God is going to look at it when you're teaching people. But they don't have that fear, or it
right.
doesn't look like it.
Well, I think, look, people may disagree with me on this, but Joel Osteen is a false teacher. That's my biblical
assessment. I wholly agree with you.
Right. He's a false teacher, and he has a false gospel. And
mm-hmm.
he has the biggest audience in the United States on a Sunday morning.
Right.
And his television show is global, and his book
and his
sales,
radio
right?
show,
right. So Satan is assisting this man heavily
mm-hmm.
because of the impact that he has. Because this is pseudo Christianity being sold as Christianity,
right?
It's a false Christianity. It's not Christ.
And
this is right.
And it's funny you bring that point up, because while I was listening to him, to Jonathan, all of a sudden Carlton Pearson popped into my mind, the gospel of inclusion. It was something Jonathan's going to say later that made me think
okay.
about that. But it's almost like a universal type gospel where, you know, we're all saved, but some people just don't know it yet type thing.
Mm.
You know, there's no consequences to sin. God
right,
is
right,
your
right.
cheerleader, your biggest fan. You know, it, that's what I'm hearing when I listen to Jonathan.
Right. You know, Shy Lin, when he did the rap song, False Teachers, if you listen to that, in
yes.
the intro of the
yes.
song, like in the first minute, he says the greatest, the fastest growing religion in America is selfism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what Joel preaches. That's what his son is preaching now. The people are idolizing themselves, and they want you to believe that God is also idolizing them. That God is worth.
Right.
His description of God makes God the worshiper of me.
Right. And in the Bible, it's the other way around. We worship
correct.
Him. We revere and reverence him.
Correct. So, listen, again, now people may say, no, Joel Osteen, you know, he may be off, but he's a false teacher.
Yes.
His gospel is false. He's demonically inspired. I'm telling you. You know, you look at the reputable preachers in America. Name anyone. They're standing behind a podium and they have notes.
Right. Yeah.
These are studious people, right? And to get the gospel, you have to study. You have to frame
like
your sentences.
Like when I watch videos of Vody Bakum, for an example.
Correct. You see him walking around and just talking, you know, off the top of his head? No. The guy there has he has his outline, and he's making his points. He's looking down, and then he looks at the audience, and then he looks down again, and he looks at the – listen, there's no way you can do this the way Joel does. Listen, you are a puppet, and there's someone else throwing their voice. It's a demon. And the kid, listen, Joel's son has not missed a beat. This is Joel Jr.
He hasn't even stumbled over any of his words. No,
correct.
No nervousness, no shakiness. Even you could tell even Joel was a little nervous his first time.
Absolutely. Joel was as white as a sheet of paper. He was spooked.
Yeah.
He was spooked.
Yes.
And his mullet was standing up like the hairs on the back of his neck. His mullet was up. He looked like a skunk ready to spray. Skunk, you know when a skunk is about to be attacked?
Yeah,
and
they
his
pull,
hair
they
comes
tip,
up.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right. That was Joel that day. I said, this guy, look at him, Pepe Le Pew. He's ready to spray somebody. He's so nervous.
Right.
And this
but
kid
not
is like
Jonathan.
Nothing. No. Again, people will say, oh, don't say that, brother, you know. I'm telling you, this is not normal. Like you said, it has nothing to do with a photographic memory. Nothing. You watch those old speeches on Hitler, and you look at Fidel Castro
mm-hmm.
speaking to the United Nations for 4 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, without notes. Those people were demonically inspired.
Yes, definitely.
So, well, great. We stopped it at the 14-minute mark, so can't wait to get back into this next week. Great show, great audio, as always.
Okay.
And my goodness. Joel can go into retirement today.
Yeah.
And what will happen is
keep rolling.
He took over the church when it had 6,000 from his daddy and it went to 40. This kid will take it to 80,000.
Mm.
You know.
I think so.
He's more, listen, at this stage, and he was right in his, the kid is right. At this stage, I'm further ahead than my dad was. The kid was right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
the
true.
Kid's right. So, great show. All right, you have the last word, my dear sister.
As always, just thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers as we pray for you and know that we love you, and most importantly, Jesus Christ loves you. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.